I want all of us in the room just to kind of give a shout out to our church family in Foxwood Springs. They get together every day or every Sunday and watch us together online there. So would you just say hello to all those folks out there? Would you do that for me right now?
Hello.
Hey, it is good, isn't it? It's good to be connected in just that kind of way. We live in the reality of storms. Would you just agree with that? I mean, if you're living here in the Midwest, there are storms that come up all of a sudden and sometimes gradually. And I think what we're going to do is just ditch this mic less and go to a handheld one today. I see now. Okay, there we go. So we live in this reality of storms all the time. And in Missouri, we can have clear skies and tornadoes the next moment, right? We can have hail. We can have just rain. We can have floods. We can have ice. We can have snow. I mean, you name it, we can kind of get it here, right? But it's not just storms and weather that come. We live in the reality of storms in our lives as well. Would you just agree with that? And we're either just coming out of a storm in life or just heading into a storm in life, or maybe we're in the midst of one right now. Sometimes we are the storm. Amen. I mean, sometimes that's the way it is. And other times there are people in our lives that they're the storm that comes in. My wife accuses me of that whenever she comes into the kitchen from time to time. She'll make some kind of snide comment like, "I just cleaned this." And my response is usually, "Do you want to eat or not?" That's the price you pay. But sometimes those storms happen. And there are some folks who just stir the pot and stir things up. Don't make eye contact with them right now. And some of those storms that come are, they're of our own making. And yet other storms are beyond our control. They just happen in life. As we think about things in our world right now, I mean, there's a storm in Israel. Would you agree with that? It's a troubling storm. And it's not the first time in God's holy land that's happened. It's kind of ongoing, but it's a storm nonetheless. There's a storm in the Ukraine. There's a storm even here in the U.S. of unrest, of disunity. There's a storm that happens in people's lives that are battling addiction. And there's a storm in people's lives that are dealing with domestic abuse. There's a storm where people are battling mental illness, and there are just storms everywhere. But the good news for us in this day is this: Jesus never met a storm he couldn't conquer. Amen? And Jesus never just looks at a storm and says, it'll pass. Jesus wades right into the middle of the storm, does he not? He speaks to it and calms all the waves. That's our Jesus. My favorite example of Jesus in a storm happens on the Sea of Galilee with Peter and his friends in a boat. And it's a very dark and stormy night, and the disciples are alone in the boat because Jesus has sent them on to the other side of the lake while he went up on a mountain to pray, kind of like Jesus, right? Just at the time when you think you need him most, he's never around, right? That must have been what was going through their minds, because as they got out on that sea, it did not remain calm. Here's how Matthew tells it. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. And after sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. Now, isn't that just kind of like him? He doesn't come right away. He just leaves them out there for a bit. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. I mean, it wasn't enough they were scared of the water. It wasn't enough they were scared of the storm. Now they got this thing walking toward them, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." It's not even Halloween. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. I mean, get a good picture of what's going on here. If you've ever been to Israel, you know the Sea of Galilee is kind of, it's not real big, it's pretty narrow, and it's down at the bottom of hills on each side. So when the wind comes whipping down across it, it doesn't take much wind to really get the waves going. And there's really nowhere to go when you're out there. And I want you to kind of picture this boat. I mean, it's not a big pontoon boat. It's not a big sea-going boat. It's a little rowboat that they're in. 12 people would have been all it could have held, and it would have been riding low in the water. You know? Now, you know, when your boat's riding low in the water, it doesn't take much for a wave to come over the side. So imagine a storm in the middle of the night. There had to be water coming on everywhere, right? Now, just be honest. Who in here would have been a little scared? No land in sight. It's dark. You didn't even want to go to begin with. But Jesus made me, right? And where is he now that we're in trouble? And Jesus, he sees them out there on the water. He hears them calling out in the middle of the night. And just like last week, he already knows what he's going to do. He already knows he has to get to the other side of the sea, so he just hops on, starts walking across the water, just like it's ordinary, everyday business. And at first, it looks like he's going to walk on by them, right? But they call out to him, and Jesus stops. "If it's really you," Peter says, because they're not sure if it's him or not. "If it's really you, if it's really you, Jesus, you can tell me to get out of this boat and you can tell me to come to you on this water. And if it's really you, I know that I can do it." Now the other 11 disciples, they don't say a thing. And they don't make a move. They just watch Peter because it's not the first time that they've seen Peter go off with his mouth, right? It's not the first time that they've seen him make a bold claim and they're going to see, is he really going to do it? Will he really step out of the boat? You know, if Jesus saves him, then maybe we'll get out too. Now again, I'd ask you to be honest and raise your hands and say, how many of you would be just like him? You know, you'd be just like those 11. I would, right? You'd be waiting just like that. But you know, Peter, he gets out of the boat. And for the first time in history, a human being walks on water. It's never happened before. An ordinary human being walks on water. I tried something like that once. It was when I was first learning how to swim. There was a good-looking girl. Her name was Laura. And she'd been taking swimming lessons for a long time. And she convinced me that I didn't need to start with the beginners. That I could just join her class, you know. Did I mention she was good-looking? And so I thought, sure, I'll join her class. Now, it's my first time to a public pool, so I didn't know what those numbers around the outside meant, you know? And so I go up to a number that was bigger than me, you know? And so when the instructor says, hop in, I muster all my strength, and I hop right in. Now, when they fished me back out of the water, I quickly rejoined the beginner class at that moment. I did not walk on water. I was in over my head. How many of you have been in over your head at least once or twice in your life? Some of you may be feeling that right now even, right? We thought we could do it. Someone told us we could do it. It looked easy enough. Well, it didn't look that hard on the video. And we hopped. But not Peter. Peter hops in and Peter experiences God enabling him to do what he could never do on his own. And he walks on water. He's doing it. Can you imagine the look on his face as he's walking on the water in the midst of those waves? I mean, you can imagine it because it's a lot like the look on a kid's face the first time he takes a step. It's a lot like the look on a kid's face the first time he rides his bike or her bike without training wheels on it. I mean, for a moment, it's like, whoa, look at me. And then the next moment, it's like, right? I mean, you can picture it, right? For a moment, it all looks good. And then the legs get weary. And then the bike begins to go in all kinds of wobbly directions. And then comes the crash, right? Well, we can picture it. It's the same thing for Peter. There's wonder and awe and, oh my gosh, I'm doing it. And then, oh my gosh, look at the waves. Oh my gosh, look at the wind. Oh my gosh, it's wet out here. Oh my goodness. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus and it's all down from there. His faith wavered and he sank. But, you know, we talk about this and we talk about how Peter failed that night. And we could agree he failed, right? But there were 11 other failures that night. Amen? There were 11 other people who didn't even begin to act on their faith. There were 11 other boat potatoes sitting right there in the boat that never even moved, that never even took an opportunity to think, maybe I could. They just did nothing. They failed quietly to act in their faith. Oh, so their failure went unobserved and uncriticized, but it was still a failure. Amen? Oh, I've been there. How about you? No, nobody saw me go down. Nobody heard me speak. Nobody, but I failed quietly just as badly as if I had done something, right? And here's what we need to notice most of all. In Peter's apparent failure, he experienced something that those other folks didn't. Only Peter knew the glory of walking on the water. Amen. those other folks never knew it. But Peter did. And when people walk on water, when people put their trust in God, when people experience God's power, when people experience God enabling to do things that they never could do on their own, it marks them. It changes them. Things are different for the rest of their lives because of that. Because Peter walked on water, if only for a moment, Peter knew things about God and knew things about God's power that only he knew and those other 11 never could. Amen? And here's another key thing that Peter knew. He knew that when he sank, Jesus would be there. Jesus would save him. Now think about what that moment must have meant to Peter. Think about how many times in Peter's life he could recall those two things. He could recall the power of God in him, and he could recall that Jesus would indeed save him. Because this wouldn't be the only time Peter would fail in his life, agreed? I mean, we don't just fail once and then we get better and perfect, right? We fail over and over. But here's the thing, Peter knew every time that he failed that God's power would still be there, amen? And he knew that Jesus would save him. Amen? Now that gave him courage to take a step the next time. He didn't think the next time, well, you know, I tried doing something for Jesus once and it didn't work. He didn't think the next time, well, you know, I'm just not able to do it on my own. No. Peter does great things. Agreed? Because he learned what the glory of God felt like. He learned that Jesus would indeed be there to save him and give him a hand to pull him up. So how does one prepare to receive a miracle like that? How does one prepare to walk on water? How does one prepare to be bold and live out our faith and not be stuck in the boat? Well, to look at that, I want us to look at another miracle that happens in the book of Acts in the third chapter. And Peter and John are on their way into the temple and to take part in a 3:00 prayer service. And as they approach the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. And each day he was put beside the temple gate, one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have." Just say those words with me. "I'll give you what I have. And in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. And then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was this lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. Now here's what we learn from this lame man at the gate. Here's what we learn that we can think about as we think about how it is that we prepare ourselves to walk. How it is that we prepare ourselves for the miracle that God wants to give us, how we can come expecting to live in a miracle, and it's this. It's important to be in a state of expectancy. You know, miracles are always happening in the Bible. Agreed? Now, some people would say, you know, well, miracles just don't happen anymore. Now, I just got to ask you, if God thought that miracles were important enough to happen over and over again in the Bible, do you think that God would stop doing miracles today? Absolutely not. If miracles were the way for us to see and to know the power and the glory of God then miracles are surely the way for us to see and know the power and the glory of God now. Amen? One of our problems is that we just think we're too smart for a miracle. That we are the creators of everything in our universe. That we are the ones who do the healing. We are the ones who discover things. God already knew them. He didn't have to discover them. He made them. This is a God of miracles. And in Jesus' day, people were expecting that when the Messiah showed up, people were expecting that when the Spirit came, they would experience and see and know what? Miracles. The Bible tells us that the beggar looked up, expecting to receive something from Peter and John. He expected to receive something. Now, what he was expecting to receive wasn't what he got. Amen? What he was expecting to receive wasn't even what he really needed. Amen? What he expected to receive changed the moment that Peter and John said to him, you know, we don't have silver or gold. We don't have any of these things. But what we have, we will give you. And what did they have? They had the power in the presence of Jesus. They had the power in the presence of the Spirit. They had the power in the presence of God with them. Now, this is what we got. If you want to know God's power, we can share that with you. We can make that happen. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, it took a little encouragement. Peter had to reach down and grab him, pull him up a little bit. But when he stood up, he expected to do what? Walk. When he stood up, he was instantly healed. And he not only walked, he ran, he jumped, he went to the temple praising God, all because he expected to be healed. To receive the power and the miracle of God working in our lives, we have to expect that God is going to act in our lives. Amen? We have to expect that God is not only going to show up, but God has already shown up and prepared us in this way. Luke, the writer of Acts, lets us know what we do when we expect God to act. There's three things that will happen. The first thing that will happen is this. You'll recognize your miracle when it comes your way. For the beggar, he called out to Peter and to John, and he recognized the potential that they had to give him what he needed. And even though he asked for the wrong thing, he turned his attention to what it was that they had to offer him. How often do you ask God for something that you think you need when God gives you something that you really need more? Amen? Maybe he puts somebody in your life. Maybe he gives you a word. Maybe he gives you a situation. Maybe he just gives you power that you didn't know you were going to get. And when God gives you something in your life, it changes you forever, just like it did Peter back there on that water. Second thing is, use your faith to reach out for your miracle. The beggar reached out his hand, let Peter grab hold and lift him up. Peter used his faith to step out of the boat, to actually step onto the water and begin to walk. Because if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. You can't stay in the boat and expect it to happen. If you want to really want to have a miracle in your life, you have to stop doing it on your own. You have to allow God to be a part of your life. You have to reach out to Jesus. You have to reach out to the Spirit. You have to reach out and say, I am here. Lift me up. You have to be willing to take that step of faith, that risky obedience that comes. When we learn to discern the calling of God in our lives, we can respond with yes, we can get out of our boat, and we can experience God's power for the first time all over again. I get stuck in the boat sometimes. How about you? Sometimes it's fear that keeps me in the boat. Any of you got that dilemma? Fear of what somebody will say, fear of, you know, what happens if I fail, fear of what if I do the wrong thing, fear of what if this really isn't God, fear if, you know, what if I'm not the right one, fear, I mean, you could just keep naming the fears, right? I mean, there had to be a lot of fears going on with those 11 other boat potatoes that day, right? They were willing to follow Jesus up to a point. And that point was not getting out of the boat. We like to be comfortable. Hello. We like to be comfortable. We like our songs in church to be the songs we like to hear. We like our church to be the church that meets my needs, right? We like to help God and to serve God, but only in the things that we like to do. And we're willing to talk about Jesus as long as it's in Sunday school class and not out on the street, right? We like to be comfortable. The disciples, they didn't want to risk getting out of the boat, but Peter got out of the boat, and he didn't do it just because it would be exciting. He did it because Jesus bid him come. He did it because that's where Jesus was. Peter went where Jesus was. Man, there's a lesson and a couple sermons in it for us, right? What if we went where Jesus was? What if we did what Jesus did? If we're ever going to receive a miracle, be part of a miracle, we have to be willing to go where Jesus is. And when somebody decides to get out of the boat, like Peter did, they are never quite the same. And those are the people Jesus is looking for. Amen? He's looking for people like you and me who are willing to get out of our comfort zone and go where he is. And to know then the things that we can only know by being with Jesus. We'll never be the same. And that leads us to the third thing, that we are able then to receive your miracle into your heart. That lame man, he was jumping and leaping for joy. Now, can you imagine if somebody came into church today jumping and leaping for joy? Some of you would be calling 911. You'd be wanting to do a drug test, right? You would think that they were at the wrong place. But isn't it the right place to come to praise God for what God has done in your life? Isn't it the right place to let God's joy and God's power be received in our hearts and change us in that moment? Isn't it the right place to come expecting a miracle to happen and to see what God can do as we walk on the water that's around us? And know, like Peter, that you may fail. You may get wet. But know, like Peter,
that Jesus will reach out his hand and pull you up every time. Because when you fail, Jesus is still wholly adequate to save. If you're in a storm right now, Jesus is all you need to save. If you've just come through a storm, Jesus is the one who delivered you. Amen? And if you're getting ready to go into one, take him with you. Let him speak to the wind. Let him speak to the waves. Let him speak to all those things welling up inside you and give you his peace. Miracles happen where Jesus is. I want to be with him. How about you? Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son who comes in the midst of our storms. Thank you for sending the one who speaks to storms and they calm. Jesus, speak to the storms inside of us right now. Speak to the storms that are going on in our world and bring your peace. Speak and allow our hearts and our lives and our minds to be obedient to what we hear you say, that we can get out of the boat and walk with you and be with you forever. In your Son's name, amen.